Sports Radio 99 The Game. Welcome back to the experience. Hour number two. We are with you for about another hour and 50 minutes. As we experience the NFL, we're going to try to squeeze some more fantasy football talk, maybe in this segment, maybe in another one at some point. Coming up next, how optimistic are you about the 2025 Falcons? Going to ask a Falcons fan a series of couple of questions. And, of course, we've got our top TV and movie moms of all time. Our list, not yours, not Google's. It's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, by the way. How the Braves are doing based on my expectations for the teams coming up in the next hour. 404-726-0929 if you want to chime in on the text line, or you can give us a call if you want. Garrett's on the other side of the glass manning the phone lines as we get into experience the NFL. Something that Falcons fans are reveling over this weekend, and quite frankly, so are Saints fans, and it's almost looking at the situation through the eyes of only a human being, I kind of feel bad. What I'm talking about, of course, is the news of Derek Carr retiring from the NFL after 11 seasons at the age of 34. Because he has a torn labrum and significant degenerative changes to his rotator cuff. Now, this is a fixable injury through surgery, but he would have to sit out the 2025 season. It appears that he is not going to elect for surgery, but he cannot play if he does not have surgery, so he's chosen to retire. Now, for those of you that know me, I'm a Saints fan. I was born and raised in Louisiana. I can't help that. The Derek Carr experiment did not turn out well for the Saints. But the amount of pleasure that I'm seeing Saints fans taking over this news that this man, I would say young man, he's not young, middle-aged man, Derek Carr, 34 years old, that he is having to retire from the NFL. And it's not like he's a huge jerk or anything. Now, he did rub Mike Thomas the wrong way, and Mike Thomas retired or whatever he did. And he rubbed Saints fans the wrong way by, I guess, hiding this injury, I guess, or revealing it late, something like that.
It's not exactly Kirk Cousins here.
No, it's not. But to see the amount of people that have elated. Now, look, I was kind of wishing they would find a way to move on from Carr because it didn't work. All right, it didn't work. But I wasn't wanting the guy to have to retire from the NFL because his shoulder's all jacked up from trying to throw the football. He did come into New Orleans. He did go into the city. He did try to embed himself in the fabric of the city, do stuff around town, him and his family, his wife and kids. But you don't want to wish ill will on a person, right? Where's the humanity in that? So anyways, Derek Carr having to retire at the early age of 34. Now the Saints are forced to have a three-way quarterback battle with quarterbacks Jake Haener, second-year quarterback Spencer Radler, and 2025 second-round draft pick Tyler Shuck, who is probably older than Spencer Radler. I'm not 100% sure. He's like 25. He's been in the college for like 5-6 years. A lot of people were saying that was a great draft pick by the New Orleans Saints. They were projected to be taking Tyler Shuck in the second round by a lot of people, assuming Shedeur Sanders was gone. Now, Shedeur Sanders was not gone. I honestly thought the Saints were going to take Shedeur Sanders in the second round when they took Tyler Shuck. They took Tyler Shuck anyway. So now there's a quarterback battle in New Orleans, and most power rankers are ranking the Saints quarterback room dead last out of all 32 teams in the NFL, and that's warranted. I don't think any of these guys in the Saints quarterback room have ever won an NFL football game. I think they lost all 7 games without Derek Carr last year. I could be mistaken. Thank you, Carl Dukes. Appreciate that. Hey, I get it. I get it, Carl. I get it. 100%.
I'm with you.
I get it, man. I'd be laughing, too, if I was a Falcons fan. And look, we deserve it. You can laugh. I can take it. I got thick skin. I can take it. We'll see, and we'll see what happens in October, November, when football season rolls around. You know, Falcons, and we're going to get into this in the next segment. Falcons got a quarterback that's only started three games himself. Wonder if that's the reason why they're keeping Kirk Cousins around. Maybe they're not all that confident. We'll see. We'll talk a little bit more about that in the next segment. Kind of went over this in the last segment, talking about fantasy football. Travis Hunter spent the entire weekend of rookie camp in Jacksonville on the offensive side of the ball, but he has been learning both playbooks. He will be inserted into the defense next week. This is a very fascinating story. This is very unlike Deion, who Deion did play some wide receiver in his career. I don't even know if he has 100 catches. I think he had like a total of like 870 catches or something like that as a wide receiver in the NFL. If you ask Travis Hunter, Travis Hunter is going to play so much. He's looking at like having a 70 reception season in year one. We'll see how that all works out. The Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders quarterback competition has also started in Cleveland. I tell you what, the hype videos surrounding Shedeur Sanders, you haven't really seen a whole lot of videos for Dylan Gabriel, but it's like, look at the bullets that Shedeur Sanders is executing, and it's like a check down pass to Quinshon Judkins. People are losing their minds. All right, let's reel it in a little bit. We don't want to see either of these guys fail. I mean, only because they're on a football team that I'm not a huge fan of. So we'll see how that goes in Cleveland. Going to be keeping up with that one. So Tom Brady in the news some more. I forget who it was that he was sitting down with, and he talked about this, the roast that was had about him. And I've got some audio to play here for you because it's Mother's Day, and he brings up his kids, and he's kind of right on this one, but he kind of missed the fact that he went into this roast not giving his kids kind of any thought. He just kind of went and did it. Turns out the repercussions from his kids have been the worst thing ever. Here's Tom Brady.
There's some things the parent you fuck up and you don't realize until after, like
100% true,
you know, and we're not perfect parents. Like, and you'll see as you grow up, like there's no perfect manual for it. And like, you got to evaluate yourself as a parent too all the time. So even though I really enjoyed the show and the performances were incredible, when I talked to my kids the next day, and I was like, I felt like, you know, a stake through the heart, you know, understandably, you know,
because were they mad, sad?
They're protective of their mom, of their dad, you know, of everybody, you know. They're just, what was the point of that? Why did you do that? So it's just, you live and you learn.
You do live and you learn. Think about your kids, though, Tom Brady. Now, Tom Brady loves his kids. That's not what I'm trying to say. But it's been bad for them. Why are you talking about mom like that? You know, fortunately for them, for Tom Brady and Giselle, they're in a pretty decent co-parenting situation where, you know, both kids want to be with both parents. They like and they enjoy spending time. Giselle sharing photos of her first baby with Joaquin today for Mother's Day, which was, man, that's a bizarre one right there, too. From the 404, I'm so happy the Saints didn't get Sanders. I assume you think that Shedeur Sanders is going to be the second coming of the great quarterback from the 404. I'm not sold on it. We'll see. In early pre-draft conversations, there were a lot of people that thought that Tyler Shuck was the better pick for the Saints because he was going to be the better quarterback. Only time will tell. You know,
I saw his player comp was Derek Carr.
Tyler Shuck's?
Yeah.
Interesting. We'll see.
I'm not even kidding. That was one of his player comps.
We're gonna draft your doppelganger. Maybe they did. We'll see. Also from the 404, I think Snitker need to be relieved ASAP. If you're going to come at me with an asinine comment like that from the 404, you need to tell me why. Maybe you'll send another text. Who knows? Speaking of Tom Brady, his former head coach is going through it still. So apparently, Jordan Hudson was banned from University of North Carolina facilities. Then University of North Carolina had to release a statement saying, no, we did not ban Jordan Hudson from our facility. She's allowed to be there. She's Bill Belichick's, like, whatever her title is. She actually has a title. But UNC did release a statement saying all this stuff was false. In case you missed it, Jordan Hudson was in the she's in the Miss Maine pageant or something like that. And she is getting smoked. She had like 200 votes the last I checked compared to like the person who's winning. I guess to maybe get in the semis for the Miss Maine contest or something. I don't know about beauty pageant. She's losing. She's losing bad. She's not going to win. That's based on my based on my point. Wow is right. Elgton Jenkins, Green Bay Packers, involved in an incident in Atlanta strip club. Now, here's an Atlanta strip club that I have never heard of. Let's see. I should have circled the name of it. Where did they go? They went to King of Diamonds. Never heard of this place. But apparently it's not all that entertaining of a strip club in Atlanta because Elgton Jenkins went into King of Diamonds where they did have to pay a cover. This happened on May 1st, so it was a little over a week ago. They went into King of Diamonds, paid a cover, discovered that they weren't going to be entertained at this place, and demanded a refund for their cover, to which they did not get. And a spat ensued, and the police were called. It's in Forest Park, because it was a Forest Park Police Department that was called onto the scene.
It's right by the airport.
Interesting.
Right by the airport,
yeah. Had you ever heard of King of Diamonds?
No.
Never heard of that one.
I mean, I'm also not down that way.
I'm not down that way at all myself. Also, don't frequent the shoe show scene. So, if anybody has, you know, an argument that King of Diamonds is an entertaining place, by all means, shoot us a text. Elgton Jenkins.
Save a lot of the details, though. FCC violations and such.
For real. So, do you remember, Garrett, back in the day when Tyreek Hill was leaving the Chiefs for the Dolphins? And he actually said, in a roundabout way, I don't think that he actually said that. Actually, I think he did. He said that Tua Tagovailoa was a better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes. Remember this?
Yeah, I do. I do remember that.
So Tyreek Hill just released who he thinks is the best five quarterbacks in the NFL right now. This was only a few days ago. Top five quarterbacks in the NFL right now by Tyreek Hill.
He said, could I rank my top five quarterbacks? Lamar, Josh, Pat, obviously. No, this is no order, by the way. Baker Mayfield and Joe B. Joe Shiesty, too.
I kind of agree with this list. I might be able to find a better quarterback than Baker Mayfield to put on that list, but guess who's not there? It's Tua Tagovailoa. Is this Tyreek Hill just trying to start some stuff?
No, this is him just being
Tyreek Hill,
honest and realistic. And
that is
a wide receiver.
It is a very realistic list.
It's fine, except for Baker. I don't know why Baker's in your top five.
That's kind of strange.
That doesn't make any sense to me. He's not better than Justin Herbert. Like,
oh, man, I don't know. Justin Herbert did have a year where he threw for 5,000 yards, but Baker, man, Baker's just kind of that dude. I don't know if he's a top five guy.
He's not a top five guy. He's good. He's good. I think he's
maybe
played
I'd take Jalen over
Baker. He's played his way into the top 10.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Is he not? Is he better than Jaden Daniels? Is he better than C.J. Stroud?
He's not better. I would say maybe C.J. Stroud.
Is he better than Tyler
Shug? Daniels? Not Jalen Hurts. Definitely better than Tua though. I'm just saying, why come out into a public domain and say things like this, knowing you're about a month away from training camp? That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I think he won.
Tyreek Hill wasn't even one of the best five wide receivers in the league last year. I don't even think he was a top 10. So he's got some explaining to do as well. I don't know. We'll see. Tyreek just being Tyreek. From the 404, King of Diamonds is a famous strip club chain in Miami that expanded to Atlanta. Oh, nice. Also,
I thought I'd heard of it from Miami. I've heard stories of it down there, but I was like,
also from 770 Forest Park, where you don't want to be.
Literally, it's across the street from the airport. Like, I think the planes take off. Over.
I only get down to that area of Atlanta to go to the airport, so I wouldn't know anything about that.
Makes sense to me.
When we get back, how optimistic are you about the 2025 Falcons? Since Garrett, a huge Falcon fan, is on the other side of the glass, I'm kind of going to ask him this. He already has the list and the questions, and we're going to work through it because there are some areas of this Falcons team that if I'm a Falcons fan, I am super, super positive on. But there's also some areas that I'm a little bit iffy on. You kind of got to put at least, you know, some of these things together to create a Super Bowl winning team, or at least a playoff team, which the Falcons have not done in a few years. So we'll see. Any opinions by any of y'all out there, 404-726-0929. Shoot us up on the text line or give us a call as well. We'll be right back. About 5 minutes. This is the Bo Johnson Experience on Sports Radio 99 The Game. I'm back. I've been here for years. Hey, mama said knock you out, especially on Mother's Day. Sports Radio 99 The Game. Welcome back to the Experience. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, and to everybody else out there, too. You can have a happy Mother's Day as well, all right? Happy days are not limited to mothers. We do celebrate mothers on Mother's Day, but you can have a happy Mother's Day even if you're not a mother. I know, sounds weird, but it is a fact. We're going to talk about the Atlanta Falcons right now. How optimistic are you about the 2025 Falcons? We're going to have this conversation with a big Falcons fan, Garrett Chapman. I was going to do the quarterback last, but we do have a caller, Leo in Flowery Branch, that wants to talk about Mike Penix real fast. Leo, how can we help you, my friend? Happy Mother's Day to you.
Man, you know what? To all the mothers out there, the same, man. And, you know, as it comes to strip clubs, let's just get this out of the way. The ones you have not heard of are probably the best ones to go to.
Oh, yeah.
But
there you go.
From there, you know, at this point, I think the Falcons need to lean into what they did last season. Terry Fontenot thinks he can spot quarterbacks. That's yet to be seen. But I think with the long windup, we got to make sure our right tackle is in place because he's a lefty. Are we ready to defend? Now, the line's been pretty good, but I think sophomore slumps are real. He was a little bit average in the games he played as a rookie, not to really castigate him for that. But you might as well. You paid Cousins all this money, and he thrives, remember, in a situation where he's the underling to the guy that got drafted higher. And so if you look at Washington, I think it'll be a good insurance policy, especially because I want to say this. I have talked to people on the network that think that we're talking about the season after this. Raheem and them might need to save their jobs this season.
I think you're accurate.
Gets a slump, yep. Gets hurt, or whatever.
Yeah, you're right. Thanks for the phone call, Leo. So I don't know that I would even call this Michael Penix's sophomore season, though. It's kind of – so in baseball, you have to have a certain number of at-bats and or a certain number of innings pitched to be considered a rookie or not a rookie. It's not like that really in the NFL to my knowledge, but Michael Penix started 3 games last year. I would very much probably say that this is a continuation of his rookie season as opposed to saying this is his sophomore season. I don't know which one of those would be better. Like, I'm not saying he won't be in a sophomore slump or have a sophomore slump, but I don't know that you can even call that this his sophomore season. He's got 3 games under his belt. All right, in those 3 games that he played in last year, he's a 58% passer. He threw 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. They did win one of them. It was the very first one. He did progressively get better, but quarterback was my biggest question mark that I had in this particular conversation, because you still don't really know what Michael Penix is going to be, and Leo was 100% right. Terry, more than Raheem, is, I think, not playing, but playing for his job this season. We are in, what, year 5 with Terry as the GM? Is that right, 5? Of the Atlanta Falcons, and they have yet to make the playoffs. And he picked Michael Penix last year in the first round after signing Kirk Cousins. And then it went bad with Kirk Cousins in the shoulder. Supposedly got hurt and whatever. Don't know the whole truth behind the whole situation. Only he does. But you're going to go into this season with Michael Penix as the starting quarterback. We assume it would have to go tragically bad in preseason and or training camp for Michael Penix not to be the guy, right?
He's the starter.
So he would have to get hurt.
Yes.
So
then you have Kirk Cousins, and look, that's a pretty good
You have Kirk Cousins on the roster, and you're already paying him the money. I think they picked up, and they're paying him the $10 million roster bonus because I think they want him on the team, not just because they haven't gotten any.
The $10 million roster bonus, I just want to say this before we move on past it. It's effectively refunded next year if some other team pays him more than $10 million.
But that would require a offer for him that they like, and I don't think they've gotten
that. No, it's a team option, so they can move off of him next year.
But I don't think they've gotten, as far as moving away from him this year, I don't think they've gotten any kind of offer, and it's going to have to be a good one, as in some team paying most of his salary for them to move him. I think they want him on this team.
Yeah.
They're not going to come out and say, hey, we want to keep Kirk Cousins. They have come out and said since day one he's going to be the backup.
Mm-hmm.
They've never said that we were actively trying to move him. They did say they were taking phone calls. Every team's going to take phone calls on every player. And as Ted DiBiase used to say, everybody's got a price, and I'm sure everybody does. But I think the Falcons want Kirk Cousins on this team as the backup in the event that the Michael Penix experiment goes awry. And it could. We have no evidence suggesting one way or the other. So when I'm sitting here talking about how confident are you in the quarterback position, the most important position on the team, how confident are you? So Garrett, how confident are you as a Falcons fan moving into 2025 in the quarterback room for the Atlanta Falcons?
I mean, the quarterback room, I'd say I'm like an 8. Seven,
8 out of 10. 7 out of 10.
8. But it's also relative to what I'm – based off of my expectations. I mean, my expectations are also not the same as somebody who – I mean, I was on my show and I talked about reasonable expectations for Michael Penix in 2025. And I threw out a lot of different numbers and I rated them based off of what I thought fans would expect. And then I opened the phone lines, right? So – people called in and I said about 3,500 yards, 25 touchdowns, and then 8 or 9 interceptions. That's the averaged out of all the rookie of the year winners at the quarterback position, the last 10 of them.
Well, to even say that he, so you think he's going to have rookie of the year type numbers
that's,
this season?
Because if he does have those type numbers, then the playoff probability for the Falcons is pretty high. But what I'm saying is that's like the high end of what I would expect.
The ceiling. Yeah.
The ceiling. And people were calling in and saying they were expecting 4,000 yards passing and 30 touchdowns. And
reel it in.
Yeah. Breathe. He is effectively a rookie quarterback. And that is where it gets a little out of control. But I'm a little bit more reserved with my expectations. I think he's going to be probably closer to like 3,200 yards, maybe up to 3,500. He'll throw some touchdowns, but you also have Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier and guys in the backfield who are going to take away opportunities to score touchdowns. But I think the number one thing for him is not throw interceptions. That's his number one responsibility for me. That's a young quarterback. Play within the system, play within the flow of the offense, and Zach Robinson, I think, can get this offense in position to succeed.
So I was asking Siri for the top quarterback. You can probably look this up, Garrett, if you wanted. I would assume that a 3,500-yard season for Michael Penix last year would have put him in the top 15-ish, probably right around there. If Michael Penix is a top 15 quarterback this year, you have to be happy with that as an Atlanta Falcons fan. If he plays as a top 15 quarterback this year, the Falcons could make the playoffs. Now, you still got to beat the teams in your own division. All right, let's go out to the phone lines real quick. Not the Falconator, the Falcon.
3,500 yards would put him at Kirk Cousins, by the way.
And where would that have been in the NFL?
18.
18, so yeah. So top 20 quarterback, and that's still decent.
But above Jordan Love.
Yeah, so and the Packers were a decent team last year and probably the toughest division in football.
But you know who he's also right there next to? Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, but Jaden Daniels also had a lot of rushing yards as well. So not the Falconator, but the Falcon hater. What you got for me, man?
What's up? Hey, I'm actually kind of, as me being such a hater that I am, they actually are kind of making good moves this time. But some of these fans, like you said, have lofty expectations. Oh, my God. This is what irks me about them. Because it's like you say, he's initially basically a total rookie, right? So I don't know why they think he's just going to come in and be my little nephew over there, Jaden Daniels. I don't know why they think he's going to do that. You know what I'm saying? Then, okay, the Saints might be sorry this year. But technically, Bryce Young owns y'all. And you're not going to get past Baker Mayfield. Y'all snuck and beat him last year, but that was fugazi. Because you see what happened. Y'all still didn't make the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? So, and then what I call him, Terry Fonta don't know a damn thing. I don't know. You know, you pay one guy $120, then you go draft another guy. You know, that don't make common sense. But, you know, hey, Falcons don't do common sense football things all the time.
I appreciate it, Falcon hater. You have some points, but look, you can't be that
you
mean.
You cannot
like,
say
come
that
on,
Bryce
man.
Young owns the Atlanta Falcons.
Has not played that dude, well against the Falcons, has
no,
Bryce Young.
He had the one game in January, the last game that they played, he played pretty well. He threw for 250 yards in that game. He had 3 tutties. But outside of that, he's got 1 touchdown and averages 150
yards. I don't know that I would have said. So Falcon hater must be a Panthers fan is what I'm assuming.
Maybe.
I don't know that Bryce Young has owned anyone thus far in his young career. Yeah. Now,
yeah, not really. I mean, he had two good games. He had two games.
He did play well towards the end of last season. If I'm a Panthers fan, I am kind of liking what I'm looking at.
He ramped up.
I wouldn't put Bryce Young behind or in front of Michael Penix moving into the 2025 season. We've seen more from Bryce Young. I think that through, I don't know, however many games you want to put on the table into 2025, I think they're going to be relatively on the same plane. I don't think that Bryce Young is going to be having that much better of a season than Michael Penix is going to be having.
It's about tiers in the NFL. I think that quarterback rankings, and you rank them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I think that's foolish. I think it's downright dumb.
And that's exactly why and how tiers. We rank fantasy football
tiers
players, too. Because they should be ranked tier, in... Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah,
I think it'll change. I think Michael Penix has a higher ceiling than Bryce Young. I just do. Just because of, one's 5'8", and the other one's actually
well, and the weapons that Michael Penix have are way beyond what Bryce Young has. And that's
away.
On every offensive skill position. Mm-hmm. And I throw Kyle Pitts in there as well, just because the Panthers don't have anybody better. Now, that's one of the questions that I have on here. We're almost out of time, so I'd love to pick this conversation up somewhere else. Is this going to be the year Kyle Pitts finally breaks out? Then we got the offensive line questions. Is Caleb McGarry going to be the right guy at right tackle? And I don't think that you necessarily need the whole blindside thing. I get it, and he is a lefty. But Michael Penix has maneuverability. Now, he's not going to rush on purpose, but he has, very similar to Pat Mahomes, escapability. So I don't think that the right tackle is going to be as big of a deal as people are making. I think Caleb McGarry will probably do a fine enough job. If the Falcons didn't believe the same thing, they would have done something about it in the draft or through free agency. All right, so we'll see. It's a fun conversation to have. We're going to try to pick it up later on the show, but we only have about an hour and a half left. Up next, happy Mother's Day. We're going to bring you the top five mothers from TV or cinema. Would love to know what you think about our list. That's going to be in about 5 minutes. This is the Bo Johnson Experience on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Your daddy don't rock and roll. This is Motley Crue.
Poison,
that's right. These albums are from my time, too.
I know, man. You challenged me.
Wasn't a huge Poison fan growing up, though. More of a Metallica fan.
That's fair. You challenged me, and I took that to heart, man.
Hey, I appreciate that. I love it when a producer puts his heart and his soul into a show. It's just like I know that you do, just like I do.
Every time.
Every day
you have
on
to.
The Midday
this,
Show with Andy
show
and
Randy. This show is so much better, man. It makes the show so much better.
I agree 100%. The brackets are set. So, for those of you that are just listening for the first time, welcome back to the Bo Johnson Experience on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I am a softball coach, so I very much love the game of softball. The brackets are set for the Women's College World Series in Oklahoma City. I'm going to rattle off the top 10 teams. The top 8 will host super regionals. But listen to the top 10 teams, how the women's college softball finishes. And you may see or hear a pretty common element with these teams, 1 through 10. So Oklahoma, 3-time national champion, was dethroned for the number 1 seed by Texas A&M. Texas A&M, Oklahoma, Florida, Arkansas, FSU, Texas, Tennessee, South Carolina, UCLA, LSU. Garrett nailed it. 8 of the top 10 seeds for the Women's College World Series are from the SEC. Those top 8s, like I mentioned, will host super regionals. So lots of fun. It all goes down starting this week, if I'm not mistaken. Real quick, before we get into my top 5 movie and TV moms of all time, let's go out to Aston and Marietta, who I believe wants to talk about the Falcons. Aston, you there? Hello? I don't guess Aston is there. Well, so we are going to pick this Falcons conversation up, maybe in this segment, maybe in the next. At some point, we're going to pick the Falcons conversation back up and the fantasy football conversation. We will have a few minutes before Ask Each Other Anything at 9:40, and we can maybe finish up some of this conversation too. So let's get right into it. All right. My Bo Johnson's top 5 moms from movie or TV in history. Now, I'm going to pull a Mike Johnson here. My cousin Mike Johnson from the morning shift has top 5 lists all the time, or Mount Rushmores. and my guy rattles off like eight freaking names. All right, you can't have a top five list. He has like five. He has like five honorable mentions on every list that he makes. So I only have two. All right, top five lists, top five TV or movie moms of all time. Here's my first honorable mention.
Something wonderful has happened. Annie, I'm pregnant.
Annie, I want to have our baby back home on Naboo. We can go to the lake country where no one will know, where we can be safe. I can go early and fix up the baby's room. I know the perfect spot.
All right.
Does this one count?
That's Padme Amidala.
Does that count, though?
Look. She gave birth to Luke and Leia Skywalker and then kind of died like right after that, which is why she didn't make my top five. She never really got to experience motherhood, but she was a mom.
She named the kids.
Two of the most important children ever born, Luke and Leia Skywalker. So she has to be. I'm a huge Star Wars fan. Okay. That's why she's an honorable mention.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Honorable mention number two.
Oh, hello, you. I'm filming television's Moira Rose. Won't you join me for a little stroll through the slice of paradise I like to call the town where I currently am?
That is Moira Rose from Schitt's Creek. Fantastic TV show. If you're looking for a show with 30-minute long episodes that you can fly through because you take the commercials out, it's only like 23-minute long episodes. Go catch up on Schitt's Creek. Catherine O'Hara does a fantastic job. The Levys are both in there, Eugene Levy and his son. Great show. Now we roll into the actual top five all-time movie or TV moms. Here's number five.
Now, Lisa, listen to me. This is important. I want you to smile today.
But I don't feel like smiling.
Well, it doesn't matter how you feel inside, you know? It's what shows up on the surface that counts. That's what my mother taught me. Take all your bad feelings and push them down, all the way down, past your knees until you're almost walking on them. And then you'll fit in, and you'll be invited to parties, and boys will like you, and happiness will follow.
That, of course, is Marge Simpson. Now, when I say
stunningly
I grew up...
Stunningly low.
What do you mean?
Come on, man.
Oh, you're saying too low? She's even higher
low
on the list?
Yeah.
When I say that I grew up with the Simpsons are still rolling. The Simpsons came out when I was in seventh grade. That would have made me 12 years old. Garrett, the Simpsons, I'm probably 12 years older than you are. More. The Simpsons came out when I was 12. I was born in 1977. So that would have been 89-ish. I grew up with Marge Simpson. 40 years later, or 35 years later, Marge Simpson still looks like a queen. Here's number four.
You see, I have to pretend to clean to remind Al how hard my work is. He'll come in that door any minute, sit down in the couch, put one hand down his pants and the other hand here on this VCR ad.
Excuse me, Peggy, but why don't you just say, honey, I want a VCR?
Because Al works very hard for his money, and he deserves me to work equally as hard to get him to spend it on me.
That is, of course, Peggy Bundy from Married with Children, played by Katie Sagal. Now, if I were to do a worst five or top five evil moms of all time, Katie Sagal is probably the only person that makes both lists. I am, of course, referencing her great work as Gemma Teller Morrow on Sons of Anarchy. If you never watched Sons of Anarchy, that's a pretty good one. Tara and I are just getting through the last couple of seasons right now.
I want to get into it. That's on my list.
Pretty
it's
decent
on my
show.
List.
It ages a little cheesy, but that's it was fair. Made. It went off the air like 7 or 8, 9 years ago, so it had a run. You know, in the what was it? What would that have been? I don't know, 7 or 8, 9 years ago. But it had a 7-season run. Pretty cool show. Here is a mom from a show that we are currently awaiting the 5th season from, when which will be the last.
Yeah, but then I'll go. You stay. Are you kidding me? He's my son, Hop. My son.
Okay, so magnet on my fridge, my icebox.
Kill karate. You said you were a black belt. Is black not the highest color?
Can anyone tell me what's wrong with him? Can a single person in this room tell me what is wrong with my boy? What is wrong with my boy?
That is Joyce Byers from Stranger Things, played by the super hot Winona Ryder, who, if I'm not mistaken, is in her 50s. Winona Ryder and Keanu Reeves used to date, which makes Winona Ryder like way up there on my cool list. And for her being in her 50s, she's still smoking hot. That's all I got to say about that. And Stranger Things, you know, she's a great mom in Stranger Things too. Single mom. Her and Hop have a thing going on, I think. It's been so many years since we've seen, since season four of Stranger Things. You kind of forget about these characters. Now you got to go rewatch the whole first four seasons. Here's number two.
I can protect myself.
You got to help me, Wanda. Look, you want to mope? You can go to high school. You want to make amends? You get off your ass.
Wanda, I think you hurt Vision's feelings.
You locked me in my room.
Okay, first, that's an exaggeration. Second, I did it to protect you.
Private security, which means more guns, which means more headaches for somebody, probably us.
You guys know I can move things with my mind, right?
Liz, we talked about this.
Yes, but the door was open, so I assumed that...
All right, so that's when maybe met with some more controversy, because that's Wanda Maximoff, an Avenger, but Wanda kind of created her kids. No? Wait, she's not a top five mom? Or
hell
she's
no.
not a she's no. not a mom.
She's not a mom.
At all?
Not at all.
Her kids are real, though. She kind of made them, but
oh,
they're real.
No?
Better
than Marge?
I mean, you
better
know.
Than Kitty Foreman?
Look, the only reason why Marge is so low on the list at number five is that she's animated.
That doesn't make her
any worse of a mom.
But Lois Griffin?
Yeah, no, Marge is still it. Now, Lois is probably hotter than Marge.
But Claire Dunphy?
No, man, Wanda. Wanda does everything that she does in the Avengers.
Lois and Malcolm, Malcolm in the Middle.
Never seen Malcolm in the Middle.
Wow, that's why. Lois is a little crazy. She's got a little,
Wanda does
like
everything
that
she does in the Avengers to protect her kids. All right?
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
She's a great mom.
All right.
Here's number one.
Anybody not wearing 2 million sunblock is going to have a real bad day. Get it? God, you think you're safe and alive? You're already dead. Everybody. Him, you. You're dead already. This whole place, everything you see is gone. You're the one living in a f***ing dream, Silverman. Because I know it happens. It happens.
It happens. I'm telling you, it's coming. Skynet. The whole thing. It's coming. You keep making computers smarter and smarter. That's Sarah Connor from the Terminator franchise. Now, that one played by Linda Hamilton is the best Sarah Connor. She was also played by Emilia Clarke of Game of Thrones fandom and a couple other people in some other movies. But Linda Hamilton's Sarah Connor was by far the best Sarah Connor. She sends a freaking Terminator back in time to protect her son, who does end up becoming the leader of the Resistance. It's very important that John Connor survives. But, I mean, you send a Terminator back to 1984 to protect your son, and then, like, eight movies are made off of it. Rumor has it there's another Terminator movie being made. If you're familiar with WWE, Jade Cargill has been cast and was just away from wrestling for a while to film her role in a new Terminator movie. And I can't think of any other role than the actual Terminator if Jade Cargill is in the movie. If you're not familiar with Jade Cargill, she is absolutely jacked and would probably make a decent Terminator. I don't know how good of an actress she is.
The ChatGPT version of Terminator?
Yeah, maybe, yeah. So there you go. There's my top five, you know, moms of TV and cinema of all time. Garrett had a little bit of an issue with my list. Thought it was a great list.
I don't know, man.
Marge, Peggy, Joyce, Wanda, and Sarah Connor. You agree with number one, though, right?
No. Sarah Connor is pretty awesome. Yeah. I like that one.
All right. When we come back, we're going to rewind the headlines of the week. We're going to play a little bit of audio, catch you up on some NBA stuff. There was a WWE pay-per-view last night that was pretty cool. The John Cena Terror Tour continues. And we lost a legend today in the world of professional wrestling. We're also going to get back into the Falcons. And also, as we rewind the headlines from this past week, a former Super Bowl, two-time Super Bowl winner, friend of the radio station, does a really weird thing with his grits. And it's just super strange. We'll be back. Bo Johnson Experience.